I thought about what you said last night, that, you know, you had this, always had this fear of the Father. And that's been a real thing in the lives of many people, is that because of religious teachings, we have had more fear of God, and it has kept us from really, keeps us from getting to know God. Because if you fear Him, and you always feel this sense of inadequacy and not perhaps good enough, it's very difficult. So what we need to do, or what God is doing, not what we need to do, but what God is doing in these days, is He's really unveiling us to the reality of His life within us. And then once we get to know His life within us, then we really know the Father. Because what comes up within us is nothing but His love and His compassion and His abilities. So I don't know of any other way to have a clear sense of a Father until that consciousness begins to be developed within us. And then we know God is love, and He's not anything but love. What God has been having me share this year, it's been quite an experience in the reactions I've been getting. I get two reactions, basically. And one of the reactions is, you're a devil, an angel of light, the deceiver of the brethren, the red dragon of Revelation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So I either get that reaction from when I share, or people are absolutely think it's the most wonderful thing they've ever heard in their life. So, and it's really that drastic of difference. You either see it, or you either see it as God's truth, or you see it as something that's trying to deceive the brethren. So, and I think it depends upon what kind of a mind we have. Because if we're locked in to a religious mindset, then anything that is outside of that mindset to you is something trying to deceive you. And that's why I've shared for years that there is no way we can progress spiritually if we are not willing to open to and investigate other avenues of thought, ministry, spirituality. If we're just locked into a certain mindset, then we'll be like I shared last night, we'll be like Peter, who 14 years after Pentecost still thought the gospel message was only for the Jews, and he would not go to the Gentiles because they were still heathen dogs. So Peter had to have a mindset change. And sometimes it seems like the only way God can get our attention is through a vision or a revelation. It has to be one or the other. Because if we don't get a revelation from God, we'll never change. We can see that in the fact of the denominations around us and the people around us. Most people, if you're born a Baptist, you're going to die a Baptist. Same, and no matter what religious group you're a part of, if you're born in that group or come into that group, your chances of leaving that group are very slim. The only way that you will change is by revelation. By hearing the voice of God, with actually the only way I've ever progressed at all spiritually is through hearing the voice of God speak to me as an individual. And I have been helped tremendously through hearing teachings. I think right now I think of Brother Preston Eby. Today I think he's one of the most anointed men on this earth to bring the word to God's people. But unless you hear a word like that or God speaks to you, you will never change. If you're a Baptist, you're going to die a Baptist. And the weirdest thing to me about that is that everybody, especially among the Christians, everybody is believing in the same God. Everybody believes they have the same Father. They all believe that they were created by God. They've all accepted Jesus as their Savior. Yet look at the situation. That's because that we have never properly been taught as children of God how to follow and listen to the anointing that abides within us. I know you're You're probably all familiar with this, but I'd love to read this, so I'm going to do it again. This is actually the verse that saved my life, and so I just can't hardly talk without using it in 1 John. The first thing we're taught in religion is that, and this isn't always so clearly presented, but you pick up this mindset, and that is that there are certain men who God has chose who have a special favor or a special anointing, but you really don't know that much, and you don't have that much experience, and you don't really know how to hear God, so you need the preacher, and you need the church system to really be able to start functioning correctly as a Christian and to begin to have your life changed. But in John, in 2 and verse 20, it says this: "But you have an unction." The word unction means anointing. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Well, right away, that's us living from a sense of a human consciousness, not really knowing our oneness with God. We read a verse like that, and what do we do with it? 1 John 2:20. "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." I think this is something that every new believer from the very beginning needs to be taught. That yes, we need pastors and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, but they are really not to govern us. They are not to take dominion over our lives. Really, what a pastor, an evangelist, a pastor, a shepherd, an apostle, what they are, in literally what they are, is examples to us. It's not what they say, it's who they are. And the very first thing that we should be taught is that we have an anointing, and that Holy One within us, the Holy Spirit within us, knows all things. And see, that's what this verse is saying. It's not saying that you, in your human being, in your human thinking, in your carnal thinking, it's not that you know all things in that realm. But you see, we have a spirit within us, and that spirit has been quickened by the Holy Spirit. And that spirit within us, and again, when I use the word spirit, I'm it's not a nebulous thing. The spirit is who you are. Your true identity is spirit. You have the mind of Christ, you have the emotions of God, and you have the will of God. And that's the anointing. And that anointing abides within you. So that within you, in the Holy Spirit, in the anointing of God, you know all things. Now, if you go down to John 2:27, "The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you do not need that any man teach you, for that same anointing will teach you all things, and it's the truth. It is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him." That has what has saved my life over the years. Because when God first began to deal with me and show me some of the things I'm teaching today, every person that I went to, I'm talking about back in the early 70s, every person that I went to, every pastor that I went to told me I was being deceived. And that I wasn't hearing God, I was hearing an angel of light. And it's still said about me today. All across America today, people are saying this man is functioning by an angel of light and by a deceiving spirit. Now, you have to know, I know, they say that about a lot of people, but you have to know that you, first of all, that you have this anointing. You have to know that you've been regenerated. And you do know that if you have, because the scriptures say his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, that doesn't say his spirit bears witness with your mind. Because if you're living out from a human consciousness, the spirit will never bear witness with that carnal thinking and that you know, that human kind of thinking. But the spirit only bears witness with spirit. So we know that we are spiritual beings, so when you hear words of spirit and life, they bear witness with your spirit. But they don't necessarily bear witness with the way you've thought all of your life. And see, that's what we're fighting against. That's the warfare that we fight against. The natural, religious, carnal thinking. The anointing which you have received abides in you, and you do not need that any man teach you, but that anointing will teach you all things, and it is the truth, it's not a lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So the only thing we need to do is to get to know and understand that anointing that abides within us, because that anointing that abides within us is actually God. We all talk about, especially if you've been through the Pentecostal ranks, that we talk about being filled with the Spirit. Well, that's just a doctrine to most, because we're taught that if we speak in tongues, we're filled with the Spirit. Yet, that is not true for most people that speak in tongues, because I know myself, I spoke in tongues for years, and I was still full of bitterness, I was still full of carnality, I was still full of, you know, you name it, I was still full of it. So I realized one day that to really be full of the Spirit means that you are motivated, you are controlled, and function by the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, you live out from the realm of Spirit. You have come into an understanding that your Spirit and God's Spirit is one Spirit, and you learn to live and function from that Spirit. And almost everything that the Spirit within you begins to reveal to you will be absolutely contrary to what you've learned all your life, unless God has been guiding you and teaching you all of your life. Because what man teaches you out here in this religious system is absolutely erroneous. About the only thing they have right is God loves you, Jesus died for you, and your sins are forgiven. Outside of that, just about everything they say is will keep you in bondage, in captivity to a religious thought. We are not human beings. When you really have that realization that we're not human beings, we're spiritual beings, and then you realize what it's 1 Corinthians 6:17 that says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You see, there are not two spirits anywhere in this universe. And you say, well, man has a spirit, and then God has a spirit. But there are not two spirits, there's only one spirit. And this was a thing that had been lost for I don't know how many years, is that man's spirit was God's spirit. And we don't have a realization of that until that spirit in us is quickened and regenerated. But once that spirit is regenerated, and once we're born again, there is no distinction and no separation between the spirit of man and the spirit of God. They become in union and function as one. So what that means is, if you have an unveiling to the reality of that spirit within you, then you begin to live and function not from your carnal thinking, but from your spiritual identity and your spiritual nature. And you discover that there really is no separation between God and man. God and man are one entity, not two. Now, I didn't say God in your carnal mind, because that's where the problem comes in. And the only way that we will ever experience absolute oneness with God is that God must bring us to the place where we're willing to let go of our carnal thinking. Because your carnal thinking, my carnal thinking, is the only thing that separates us from everything that God is. Because everything that God is, all of his loveliness, all of his power, all of his authority, all of his compassion, everything that God is now resident, and we are as a spiritual being on this earth. You see, what happens in religion is that you're taught a lot of wonderful things, But what you're taught is always put off out there somewhere in the future. You see, even today, most Christians do not have Jesus in reality. Now, when I say in reality, I mean they have Jesus, but not in reality. Because, you know, Revelation, Jesus says in Revelation, I am he that was, that is, and that is to come. Now, most Christians, they all understand the God who you might say was in the man Jesus. And they know the God who is to come because they're looking for Jesus to come again. But they totally miss the God who is. And the only way you can really discover and have a relationship with the God who is now present in this present time is to have a relationship with the spiritual person that you are. Because that's the God who is. Now see, that's why religion hates this message, because they say, now wait a minute. Here you are going around this earth telling everyone that you're God. I did not. Here's what I say. In fact, there's a song Bob and Charlotte Tarangelo wrote many years ago. And you'll recognize the song if you know their music. I'm raising up in my house again, bringing salvation without sin. I'm tearing down that carnal man in every temple where he stands. I'm raising up with a brand new word in a voice you've never heard. I'm raising up in my house again. Well, that's what God is doing today. He's unveiling our eyes to the reality of his essence and his being and his spirit within us. And when that happens, that begins then to tear down your carnal thinking. No matter how religious you've been, no matter how many indoctrinated you've been, in whatever religion you've been in, the very moment the veils begin to come off of your eyes to the reality of the indwelling Christ within you, you begin then to experience the God who is. And that's what we call the God of the now. And most Christians miss that, and it's really not their fault, because they don't even know to seek. They don't realize that they are. Now, when I say they are, this has nothing to do with our human personality, has nothing to do with the carnal man, but we must realize that we are the God who is. And you say, how can that be? Well, that song explains it again very well. He's raising up. We all know in Revelation that God says that, you know, speaking of the city of God in the New Jerusalem, I will dwell in them, I will be in them. Jesus said in John 17, he prayed to the Father that we would know that we are one just as Jesus and his Father are one. He prayed that we would have the realization of that same oneness. You see, in our carnal thinking, God is God and we are we. And that's true in our experience and in the way we carnally look at things. But in reality, once you realize that at Calvary, the carnal man, the old man, everything negative in the universe was taken into death, and God, as I shared last night, God has raised all of creation up into the new creation and has forgiven all the debts and all the sin and all the transgression. So what we are today, once we can get rid of this carnal mind, what we are today, we are literally God's Son on this earth manifesting His life, His nature, His abilities. We are actually experiencing what Jesus told His disciples that they would experience. But you see today, if you have the typical mindset of waiting for Jesus to come back, then it tells me that you do not know the God who is. Jesus told his disciples, it is necessary for you that I go away. Because when I go away, the Comforter will come to you. And when he, the Spirit of Truth, when he comes to you, he will teach you all things. Well, there's that verse that goes along with what John told us in John 2:27. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. And He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Now, I'd had a deeper realization of this verse just recently when I read that I will bring to your remembrance all things that I have spoken to you. God has spoken things to us before we ever entered into this physical realm. And there will come a day when we will begin, as the Spirit of God, as the eternal substance of God is formed in our consciousness, we will begin to remember, and we will know that we know all things, because we really do in our spiritual being. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this: the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Well, I never knew what that verse meant until God began to speak to me some of these things, and it was foolish to my natural mind. For instance, this is an absolute truth that's foolishness, especially to the religious mind. The magnitude of Calvary's victory says that when Jesus died on that cross, and this is theologically sound as anything you'll ever hear, when Jesus died on that cross, that was the end of the old creation. That was the end of sin. That was the end of sickness. That was the end of death. That was the end of everything of the carnal, natural, old creation man. That's why Paul says in Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, because old things have passed away. Well, what are the old things? All the old things that you lived out of from your carnal nature. The feelings of inadequacy, the separateness you feel from God, the inferiority you felt from God, the sicknesses, the diseases, that whole mess is from the carnal realm. So if you tell someone who has cancer, or I also have something in my body that my body is not functioning the way it should, so you tell somebody, you know, that a Christian that has these problems, that you know that God has already dealt with that on the cross. Well, to the natural mind, I'm saying, well, yeah, he did, but look what my body is manifesting. And so looking at what our body is manifesting keeps us locked in that carnal mind. And that's why I love what it said about Abraham. You know, Abraham is called the father of faith, because God came to Abraham, and his situation was just as impossible as our situation if we have a cancer or whatever. But God said to Abraham, you are going to have a son. And that was an impossible thing for Abraham at his age and Sarah. But we know what the scriptures say. Abraham believed God. It says, Abraham considered not his own body as good as dead, but he considered him faithful who had promised. You see, that's how we get rid of our carnal mind. Because until, as I said earlier, until we are willing to stop all of the thinking that goes contrary against what the scriptures reveal to us as a truth, will always be confused human beings. You know, another scripture, Galatians 3:13, says this, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, what does that mean? What was the curse of the law? It was poverty, it was sickness, disease, and it was death. Well, now, if Christ has redeemed us from poverty, sickness, and death, why are most all the Christians in the world financially poor, sick, and a lot of them dying? And I have to place myself in that category to a degree, because I am not yet walking in the fullness of what I know I will be. But you see, even though we may not be where we know we can be, that's where we have to be like Abraham, not consider the frailties in our bodies, not consider if your body is manifesting something that it shouldn't, because I know God is faithful. And I know God spoke to me one day and he said, as surely as I live, you shall reveal the fullness of all that I am. So regardless of what my body tells me, regardless of how my mind lies to me, and it still does that, I have grown enough in spiritual identity and function enough in the spiritual realm that now I can look at that and it doesn't disturb me. It doesn't discourage me. I don't have thoughts like, well, I'm never going to make it. Or, you know, or perhaps I've done something to cause God to make God angry. Or, you know, all the thoughts we get. But no, I know that I am a spiritual being. I am just as much a manifestation of God as Jesus Christ was. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? For he was the firstborn among many brethren. And what did Jesus say? I am come that you might have life. And we know, if you do word studies, that when he said life, he used the word zoe. And there's three different words for life in the original languages. One is psuche, which is your carnal life, your human thinking. The other is bios, which is your physical life. But the word psuche is the highest form of life, and that's God's life. Well, Jesus said, I am come.
Zoe.
He said, I am come so that you might have life. Now, most Christians are taught, which is well and good, that Jesus came to forgive you your sins. And that's a wonderful revelation. But if that's all you experience, and most Christians in what I call the baby stage, and most Christians never advance beyond the baby stage. I just know I'm forgiven, I know God loves me, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Most people never get beyond that stage. And that's a wonderful place to be. If you're a good person, if you're not a good person and you have a lot of bad traits, it'll drive you nuts because you have such a conflict in your being because your spiritual nature is crying out for holiness and cleanness and your spiritual identity is crying out to be molded and to be, you know, to flow into all areas of your life. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have my life. Well, what is that life? That life is a life that's lived in the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what?
Righteousness,
peace, joy, and peace.
In the Holy Spirit.
You see, our religious teachers, I touched on this a little bit last night, and we have to get this, we have to get all of this carnal thinking that has to fall at our feet. Because almost all of our religious teachers, they speak with a double tongue. They'll tell you that Jesus redeemed you, Jesus saved you, Jesus is your healer. And then the same mouth will teach another message, how that God sometimes will put sickness and disease on you to teach you something. Well, you have to recognize right away that is not life, you see. God did not come. Jesus came to give you life. Well, what is life? Life is abundance. You see, someone who is sick and weak and frail cannot enjoy life to its fullest extent. Now, I will qualify that by saying this. Unless you're living out of a spiritual identity, then no matter what you go through, nothing can rob the peace, the joy, the satisfaction that you have. See, because I've been through these things. We were sharing last night. I was diagnosed with a cancer a couple years ago. And so I'm speaking out of not just a head knowledge, but I know how you react when you're faced with death. If you're living from a spiritual consciousness, you know that right away, you know that that does not come from God. And so the only thing that I did was to open myself to God to see what he wanted me to do about it. Do you want me to go to a doctor? Now, some people are against doctors. You know, they think we should live by faith and we should never go to a doctor. But I never let any kind of a teaching like that solidify my thinking so that I'm not open to another way. So I always go to the Father and I say, How do you want me to handle this? And if he had said, go to the doctor, I'd go to the doctor. If he said, go to a holistic person, I would have went to a holistic person. If he would have said, and now this is where a lot of people would miss it too, he might have said to me, go to the New Age people, because that's where you find out all about the holistic health and all the good formulas and all the way that you can, through nutrition, overcome cancer. Well, if most people heard something like go to a New Age person, they'd say, that's got to be the devil. That's why I say, see, the very most important thing in your life is to develop that relationship so that you can trust your own heart. Because God has given you a heart that is after Him. God has put His Spirit within you, which is His. Actually, God's Spirit, we talked about this last night a little bit. God's Spirit is not some kind of a nebulous, etherical substance that's like the wind. It's used like the wind because the presence of God, it's omnipresent, it's everywhere. But God has a mind, God has a will, and God has an emotion. And so the Spirit is not just some nebulous thing. A Spirit is a whole being, a being who has not ever been separated and alienated from God. Well, see, that's who you are. Your spirit has never been separated and alienated from God. Your spirit, your true nature, your true identity has never known sin, has never been touched by sin, has never been touched by the fall. What has happened to us is that when we entered into this realm, we have taken on the consciousness of this mass humanity and this carnal mind, and we have been taught that we're human, we have been taught that we're born in original sin, we have been taught that, you know, all of these things, and so we just naturally believe them, and because we believe them, they become a part of our experience. And that's why Jesus came and said, I have come to give you life. Well, if you don't understand, really understand the spiritual side of life, you will never come out of your carnal thinking, because every time your body manifests something that is contrary, every time you fall into what we would call a sin or a habit, you will look at that, you will identify with that, you will immediately, your carnal mind will take over, and you'll get into this, oh, I failed again, or I did it again, or this is never going to change, or I'm never going to make it. That's the carnal mind. That's what I say. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. So here I am. I've got, say, a cancer in my body. And this is if I'm a religious thinker, and I love God, but I still got this religious mind, and somebody comes up to me and says, don't you know that that cancer isn't real? Don't you know that God took care of that on the cross? Well, that's foolishness to me if I'm in a religious mind. But if I can, if my eyes are unveiled to the truth and the reality of that, I will never agree that I have cancer. And this is so hard because this is going beyond the carnal mind. I've been in a hospital and I've had death pronounced on me. I've been in a hospital where they found a tumor once, and this was years ago before they had the technology that they have today. They found the tumor in me, and the doctor thought it might be cancerous. But even back then, I'm talking back, it's probably 25, 30 years ago, even that long ago, when the doctor said to me, you have a tumor, and they found it by accident because they were taking my appendix out. He said, you have a tumor in one of my tubes in there somewhere. And he said, we took it out, and he said, it looks bad. And I'm telling you, as he was talking to me, there was such a presence and such a peace enveloped me. It didn't make any difference. It really didn't. It made absolutely no difference. Well, a couple of years ago, Stacy and Pamela Wood were at our home, and the same thing happened. I got a phone call, and they had discovered cancer in my body. I mean, it was just, my reaction is, well, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? That, to me, that's what Jesus meant when he said, I come to give you life. Now, when we, like I say, I'm not yet experiencing the fullness of that life, but that life is so functioning in me now. And his resurrection life is functioning. And so in resurrection life, your feelings and your fears and your, you know, all of this stuff, it can't get you. And if it does, it'll be so momentary, because you learn how to turn to the spiritual being that you are within you, and you immediately arise above the situation. When I begin to discover my spiritual nature, and I begin to identify with that, even though experience, it had not yet become my experience, I knew every time my temper flared up and I did something like that, I knew the truth. And I would simply just turn to the Father and I'd say, Father, I know this is not my nature any longer. I know you have given me, because by that time I had begun to sense the love and the compassion of God. So I began to then discern the difference between my soul nature and my spiritual nature. After a period of time, I found that temper would hardly ever get the best of me. In fact, Carol tells a story sometimes. She was married to me for 2 or 3 years. She never saw me upset. She never saw me get angry. She didn't think it was possible. But there was a situation come up one time where she saw me get so angry, and I told a guy off so bad that he literally cried. And so I was surprised myself. But see, if there's something still in there, it's got to come out. And so when that happened, I did not feel one bit of guilt. I did not feel one bit of condemnation. The only thing I knew, I went to that man and I deeply apologized to him. I realized that there was still something there of that temper had not yet been gone. But what I learned to do is that even today, if something like that begins to arise in me, I think the people it's easiest us to get upset with is our mates, because they're so close to us. And they know us better than anybody else too, and they can put the finger on us, see? But whenever... Today, there may be some anger come up, but it's not a temper thing. It's not the old thing, but it's still a residue of that carnal man that's still lodged somewhere in that thinking. But whenever anything comes up to where I get upset at all or I'm not thinking right, I'm telling you, within a few minutes, I mean, I can grab that thing, I can go into my spirit, and all of that just dissipates. Well, again, that's what Jesus meant when he said, I am come that you might have life. That is the kind of life, that is the Zoe life. And that's the life that works from the inside out. We cannot change our outward man. The only way you can change your natural man, your carnal man, is if you're a good person. If you're a strong-willed, naturally strong-willed person, then you can change your outward man. But that doesn't make you any more godly. It just makes you a good person. That doesn't let you experience the life that Jesus came to give us. The life that he came to give us, really we already had it, but he came to make us aware of it. He came, first of all, to give us a point of identification so that we could look at Jesus and see our Father. And then, through his sacrificial death on the cross, the message in that cross, and religion has got this message wrong, religion said Jesus had to die because God was so angry over man's sin. God the Father killed his own son to appease his anger so that the human race could once again come to him as their father. That's the kind of thinking you've had, see? Well, that absolutely was not true. In fact, I don't remember the scriptures, maybe some of you might, but there are scriptures both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that says God was never pleased with animal sacrifice. It says sacrifice and offerings I had no pleasure whatever in. Now, a lot of Christians don't like it when I say this, but God, the Father, the Spirit of God, the Father never instituted any kind of a ordination that would make people fear him, or that would make people feel they had to kill something to appease his anger. I'll tell you exactly where that came from. That came from paganism. Most of your pagan religions had sacrifice, animal sacrifice. And some of the pagan religions sacrificed even their babies to appease the angry God. Where that teaching came from about God being angry and you had to appease him by killing something else is a paganistic doctrine. We've never really understood why the Jews wanted to kill him. I know we've had thoughts and we've been taught about it. But one of the main reasons the Jews wanted to kill him is that he absolutely, there was two reasons, but one of the main reasons was that he basically told them that what they had been taught was an error. He said, let me say it like he would say it today. I know what is written in your scriptures. I know what your scriptures say. Your Old Testament scriptures, they say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the death penalty. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to them who despitefully use you. And so what Jesus was telling the people is that you have a wrong concept of my Father. My Father does not destroy his enemies. He loves his enemies. My Father makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. There is no partiality. All of these things that we've been taught in religion, although they have an element of truth in them, they give us a wrong concept of God most of the time. So the Jews wanted to kill Jesus because he said things like that, and because he literally broke the Sabbath laws, which no good Jewish mind, no Jewish person would break a Sabbath law. So he broke the Sabbath law. He told them there, the Old Testament scripture said this, but I say this. And today we could say to the nominal Christian of today, I know what your Bible says. Your Bible says, according to, you know, the way it's interpreted, that if you don't accept Jesus or you don't live a holy life, when you die, you're going to be thrown in a lake of fire where you will literally burn forever and ever. But I have to say to you, that's not true. That's not my Father. The lake of fire is a very real thing, but it has been so misinterpreted and taught from the carnal mind that it's put fear in the hearts of God's people towards their Father. So the concept of God was such a mixture, especially in Jesus' day and even today. It's the concepts of God are so mixed. But here's why Jesus died on the cross. The main reason he died on the cross was to show us, this is your life. Now, when he said, I am come to give you life again, he meant, I am come so that when I am raised from the dead, I will breathe on you, I will quicken you, I will regenerate you, you will become born again, and you will have the very same life that I have. See? Now, these are what is called the overcomers in the book of Revelation, because it says what? They have his Father's name written on their forehead. Well, to have the Father's name written on your forehead means that you have the mind of Christ. You are no longer functioning from a carnal, humanistic, natural thinking realm, but you have his mind, his character written in your forehead. So Jesus again said, I am come that you might have that kind of life, that my Father is literally going to write his nature, his capabilities, his essence in your being. And the greatest proof of that is you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again. Now remember, he came to give us his life. So, on the cross was a point of reference for us to look at and realize that God loved us so much that he died and took all of the negative images that we have of ourselves. He did this but we have to see that in Jesus, he took the humanity, the carnal thinking, the natural thinking, and everything negative of the universe, he took that, put that on the cross, he nailed it to his cross, and he went into death, and 3 days later, he came out of death to show us that death, sin, sickness, disease, there is absolutely nothing that any longer has any power over us, because he destroyed him who had death, that is the devil. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a triumphant display of them. He overcame everything, and now he says, I am giving you my life. So you don't need ever again. I tell you, if we get this, it's almost impossible to be discouraged. Because you know, even if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to bring it out again. And that can be so, you can be so absolutely convinced of that, that you have fear of nothing. And I think, you know, that's why we've misunderstood some of the teaching of the mystics and some of the teachings of what we call Christian Science. Now, Christian Science has had a lot of this teaching, and we've been told for years that it's, you know, it's incorrect, it's demonic, it's all of this stuff. But Mary Baker Eddy had some real truth. And I'm not saying that everything she taught, but she had the basics of what I'm sharing with you, she understood. And that's why Christian Science even today will teach you that sin isn't real, sickness isn't real, death isn't real. But see, it's real, but it's only real in this realm. But we're not to be living in this realm. We're to be living, Paul says, we are to set our affection, our thinking, our living in heavenly places. We're not to live from the earth realm where we have carnal human thinking. We're to live from the heavenly realm where we rule and reign not from the earth but from the heavens. And so when this spiritual consciousness begins to be developed in you, then you understand what some of those verses mean. Because today, you see, we are ruling from the throne of God. Do you remember what Paul told the Ephesians? He said, even when you were dead in sin, God raised you up. When did that happen? 2,000 years ago. The message of Calvary is that God took the human nature into death, and then he raised you, your spiritual being, he raised you up and seated you with him in heavenly places. I'll tell you right now, in this present moment, that's where you are. But the moment you begin to think from the carnal realm, you have lost that place. You haven't lost it, but you've lost it in your awareness and in your consciousness. And that's all that happened to Adam in the very beginning, is he lost that awareness and that consciousness of being a manifestation of God on this earth. So that's why, again, I say that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, because of our religious teaching and that, we tend to think that our natural man is a spiritual man because we believe God, you know, we love God. But as long as you still have this natural thinking, you cannot, in your natural thinking, get to the place where you understand that death isn't real. Sin isn't real. Sickness isn't real. Death isn't real. Yes, if you have a sickness, you have a pain in your body, yes, it hurts. But again, we have to consider not our body, that even though it might be as good as dead, we consider him who is faithful, who had promised, and who has fulfilled that promise by giving us his very own life and nature. So today I can say, Father, whatever is going on in my body, I know that in reality, that everything that I need, you are. It doesn't matter what I need. It doesn't matter, and it's not what I think I need. I know, God knows what I need. And so I can rest in the fact, just knowing and enjoy God and worship God in any situation, and I experience that life that Jesus came to give us. Well, this is what Jesus meant in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He said this, Jesus said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, what does it mean to come after me? To really come after him is to really have that desire in your being to be as he is. And see, most Christians don't even have that concept. You mean, you're telling me that I can be as he is? Well, that's what the scriptures say. As he is, so are we. Not as he was, not as he will be when he comes back, not as we will be in the New Jerusalem or when we die, but we are as he is right now in this present moment. So that's what it is to come after Jesus. To in our heart, to long to have that experience and being able to express him as though it were he speaking through us. Well, he said, if you come after me, you have to lose your life. Now, I know all of us that are Bible students, we know that that word life is suke. If you will come after me, you have to be willing to give up your life, your suke life, which is your soulish life. What it is your natural thinking, the way you naturally think. Now, years ago, I got into this suke teaching on the suke series, and this whole series of tapes was on denying yourself. And so for 3 or 4 years, I was heavily into this teaching. And so I was trying to deal with my smoking. I was trying to deny my lust. I was trying to, again, this is carnal thinking. This is human reasoning, trying to take the carnal man and make something better out of him. And if you succeed in that, you still are not in the place where you can receive God's life. Because God, again, is not after making your humanity better. God wants to destroy the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is that image of yourself that sets in this temple thinking it is in rule, it is in control. To deny yourself means to deny every carnal thought that you have. That's a pretty big order. Okay, now let's go back to what Paul said in Philippians. This is what I say. This is the most useful spiritual warfare you'll ever do, what Paul told the Philippians. He said, casting down imaginations. Well, what is an imagination? Just an imagination. Casting down imagination. An imagination is an image. And it's an image of anything whatsoever that's not according to godliness. Casting down imaginations, that word also means reasonings. Well, what's reasonings? Well, the doctor told me I just had cancer, so I must have cancer, and I must, you know, all of this stuff, all of the thoughts that go along with it. Paul said, casting down reasonings and what? Every thought. Isn't that a big order? We must cast down reasonings and every thought that comes against the knowledge of God. Well, the reason most Christians don't do that is we haven't had the proper knowledge of God. If you do not know in experience, not just in knowledge, but if you do not know in experience that you are a spiritual being and that you can learn to live and walk and live above every circumstance in this world, it's very difficult for you to cast down those reasonings and those thoughts. Oh my goodness. Is it Corinthians 10? 2 Corinthians 10:3. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Well, where are the strongholds that we need to pull down? Right in our minds. I was in spiritual warfare for a few years, deliverance and spiritual warfare, and we used to go out with these groups and, you know, we'd pull down these spirits and all I did was get myself in a whole lot of trouble because I wasn't equipped to deal with those spirits. But there is a realm in which those things ain't going to come near you. And this is what Paul's talking about. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This has been, for me, it's been a lifelong practice. And I still have to do it every day. As you will find yourself wandering in this sea of thoughts. And so you have to bring those into captivity, not think about them, and not even think about how to get rid of them. Just stop. And this goes into another whole message about how do we control our mind, and how do we quiet our mind, and how do we still the mind. But it has to be done before you will ever enter practically into the experience of functioning out of the mind of Christ. The natural mind has to stop functioning. Now, not altogether, not all at once, but this is in degrees. None of us change from natural to spiritual overnight. It's an experience of daily walking through and functioning, learning to function from the spiritual realm, learning to take dominion over these thoughts. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. I'll give you back your true identity.